everybody calls it figuring out your niche, but it's just figuring out where are you going to play in the playground? You know, what's your place that you like to hang out and who do you want to hang out with?
Welcome to the Audience Converter Podcast, the podcast for converting your audience from strangers to loyal fans. We dive deep and discuss how entrepreneurs, consultants, and coaches can level up their business to help more people in the world. Now here's your host, the creator of the Audience Conversion Method, Kimberly Whitecamp.
Are you a community leader who's looking to really build your community through the power of email? It's the first chance you have to get in front of the right people, and you should make the most of it. So many community leaders take the template approach, and you've lost your community before they've even found you. How about crafting the perfect welcome series instead? You can grab my guide, Crafting the Perfect Welcome Series, at theaudienceconverter.com/giveaway. Discover the tips and tactics I use to help my clients get up to an 80% open rate. When people open those first few emails, they're more likely to continue opening your messages, engaging, and buying from you. Build your community the right way with a welcome series that converts. Grab your copy at theaudienceconverter.com/giveaway. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Audience Converter Podcast for community leaders. I'm your host, Kimberly Whitecamp, marketing strategist and conversion copywriter. And today I am so stoked. I've got a really great friend of mine. She lives just down the street. However, I would not know that. Because of the pandemic, we met on the internet. And she's amazing at creating courses. And specifically today, we're going to talk about not doing that big, massive, oh my gosh, this is all of my knowledge that you've ever going to need ever. But instead about how to use mini courses to really get to know and build your community. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Julie Hood. Julie is joining us today, as I mentioned, from the St. Louis, Missouri area. And she combines her left-brained love of computers with her right-brain creative side to help entrepreneurs create and market amazing online courses. And this future business leader of Missouri had a favorite toy as a child, Fisher-Price school set. Because after 50 years online and helping clients, she's combined her seventh grade passion for computers with the desire to help others teach and share their knowledge. And she's done all of this and put it together in Course Creators HQ. Her goal is to help people turn their knowledge into a source in which they can build their communities and, of course, share their knowledge and help and impact other people. So, Julie, so excited to have you here and welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Kim. We always have such a good time talking, so I can't wait.
We do. We always have a really great time chatting about pretty much anything and everything. Julie understands productivity. She understands course creation. She understands online marketing. But of course, as we mentioned, her super favorite spot is courses. But before we get into that, Julie, you've got a great background in journey into getting into this kind of area because you've been at it for a little bit longer. Then, you know, the last 5 seconds in which yet another change happened to an algorithm that everyone was relying on. So tell me a little bit about your journey and how you got started doing this for your clients.
You know, I was in corporate for about 6 years and my son was born, and bless his soul, the boy did not sleep at all. He was 18 months old before I got 5 hours in a row. And it was craziness. So I was so exhausted. I was like, okay, I need a break. So I quit working for a while. And then this was all right about the time the internet was sort of taking off. So I'm going to date myself here. I've been around a long time. And I started doing an ebook online. That was my first project and loved it so much. Things have grown and grown and grown since then. We took some time to just help people with general internet marketing. I did that for several years and love working with my clients, but I found that it was a little tricky to try to get a lot of traction, because one day I'd get a restaurant that needed help selling their pizzas, and then the next day I'd have a corporate client, and then I'd have an author, and it was just kind of all over the place. And so I started focusing in 2017 on just course creators. So those experts, those authors, coaches, consultants, all the people that need to get their knowledge out and they want to make money from it and build their audiences and like share what they know with the world. And it's been so much fun. I've met some amazing people including you, Kim, and all of our good friends from some of the joint venture things that we've been doing together. And so I just love working with all of these experts to help them what it is they want to share, how they want to share it, and get their message out to the world. So it's been a really exciting couple of years as all this has been taking off and helping people jump into, okay, I need to do an online course. Where do I start?
That's such a fun little storyline. And I did not know the part about 18 months of no sleep. That just sounds like some kind of blast that I could pass on. But you know, I find it so interesting because you mentioned that you started with ebooks, right? That's what everyone was kind of like, oh, you're going to, you know, build your, I remember people talking about, you know, you could sell your ebooks online and you're going to make bank with that. And then of course you remember that like ebooks sell for $2.99 or something. And unless you're like selling 50 million copies of other people's stuff, you're not making bank with that. And exactly. You know, there's just so many different paths that you kind of walked on because you were just being guided by what other people needed, right? You know, somebody needed this. Okay, I'm going to move in this direction. All right, this is where things are moving. And I really like what you said earlier about, you know, at first it was hard to gain traction because I find that is one of the areas so many people need to focus on, but they don't. And that is really defining who is it that you're going to help? Who is it that you're best fit to get help from you?
And you know, it's hard. It is. Because when you first get online, you don't really know who it is. Like, how do you know whether you like them or don't like working with them until you try it out a few times? And that's kind of what I had to do.
Absolutely. It's true that you don't necessarily know 100%, but you, most of us can, if we even took like 10 minutes, we could figure out like, who is not the exact right fit for us, right?
that's true. Yes. Yes.
I mean, you know, one of the phrases you said was, what was it? Pizza shop looking to sell more pizzas and then a corporate client. And I was like, I know which one I don't want to work with. Oh yeah, that's both of them.
Well, right. And knowing that makes it so much easier because you can speak to the language of, you know, are we going to talk about selling pizzas? Are we going to talk about selling courses? And when you can talk to that specific wording, so, you know, when I'm doing all my marketing, it's always talking about selling courses and selling online and talking to students and connecting with students. And so my messaging resonates so much more with my audience than if I was just talking general, let's get customers, you know, that doesn't resonate. And they're like, well, why should I work with you over someone else? So usually it's, well, you should work with me because I focus just on the courses part of things. So I think if your listeners can do the same sort of thing, figuring out, and everybody calls it figuring out your niche, but it's just figuring out where are you going to play in the playground? You know, what's your place that you like to hang out and who do you want to hang out with?
I love that analogy. I'm stealing that.
Good, good.
Because yes. On a playground, right, there's so many different things you can be doing. So if you've got like your corner, you still might be playing on four or five different things, but you're still got the right people around you who all enjoy those four or five different things. But you know that like the stuff on the clear other side, like basketball, not your thing, right?
Yes. Although I'm 5'10", so technically basketball was supposed to be my court, but you know.
Yeah, no, I jammed a finger. I broke my glasses. I got body slammed, all while playing basketball in PE. So it is certainly not my favorite thing to be doing. Oh, give me goodness. A jump rope, hopscotch, and crawling on the monkey bars upside down any day of the week.
There you go. Yes. Oh my goodness. I feel like funny. I'm 10 again.
Well, that's probably the last time I was on a playground. Well, no, not exactly, but so. All right. So, you know, that is true though. Why you need to find your playground, because it has to be something fun, right? That's what we were talking about. What is it that's fun for you? What is it? Who do you want to hang out with? That's how you phrased it as well. So when we're talking about creating our online marketing, before we even focus in on using a course as part of that, we're really talking about making sure you've got the right people, the ones you really want to talk with, because at the end of the day, it's your business. It's where you're going to be spending a lot of your time. And if you're hanging out with people that you don't like to be hanging out with, well, then why are you doing it?
Right. Well, we don't want to create another boss. Like, let's run our business the way we want to do it. So I'm so glad you're helping everybody head that direction. That'll make life so much easier.
Fantastic. All right. So you are here to talk courses because that is your jam. And, you know, I'd love to know, just what do you find are like those top mistakes, right? What do you find are those really big stumbling blocks for a lot of people that aren't actually as big as they think they are?
Right. So the first one is they want to put everything they know into their very first course because they want it to have lots and lots of value and they want to have a high price on it. And I will tell you, it is so much easier to just kind of throw up everything you know and try to make it into a course. It's easier for you. It's terrible for your students. So one of the things I really try to get my students to do is I want you to narrow it down. Let's pick one solution, one result, one transformation on your customer's path that you're going to help them with in this specific course. And the best part of that is all those other things that you know and you can help them with, that becomes the next course and the next course and the next course. And you'll probably end up making more money in the long term from your courses when you can have these additional pieces coming down the line as they need them. And the other thing that's related to this is when you keep it condensed and not everything you know, you can get it finished so much quicker. I'm very big on, I don't want this to take you 6 months. That first ebook I told you about took me a year to get that thing done. And it's sold for $14.95. I mean, come on. That's not how I want this to go for you guys. That's one of the lessons that I learned that I make sure now. I like to have my students spend, we have a program so they can do 24 hours. An hour a day for 24 days, they can jump in, get their course done. And it's not a signature everything you know kind of course. It's one of those, let's get this done. Let's get this out there. Let's get it making us some money. Let's get it helping people. And then we'll add to it, or we'll expand it, or we'll change it, or we'll have part two that they sign up for next. So that's kind of my approach rather than jumping into the deep end of the pool with everything you know. And that's the first mistake I see people making.
And, you know, to talk about that just a little bit here, I find not only is that a mistake a lot of people make, but that's kind of a mistake people make when creating marketing in general, right? Like they're like, oh, I have to put everything out there, absolutely positively everything. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no real clear strategy for moving from one thing to the next. And you're finding yourself talking to people who don't know what you're talking about. Right? Because if you are having to put out a message where, you know, you're talking to people who know what keto is, who don't know what keto is, who want to lose weight, who just want to get healthy, and who are looking for the top five foods to avoid if you're going to go keto light or something, right? Like, those are all, right?
But my head is spinning already.
Your head is spinning already. But if somebody is, that's like their coaching business, that's their approach, that's what they're using, but they're trying to talk to all of those different types of people all at once, that's so confusing. You're like, well, how do I speak that message? How do I get that knowledge out when I've got such a diverse background of people who I'm trying to speak with? So I love your approach. And, you know, this is the idea of don't put everything in it at once. A, it's better to get that big win, to get the quick win, to get the thing that is actually manageable to achieve. Because what happens is if you give out everything, sometimes what will happen also is that not only are you giving out everything, but then people are like, what exactly am I going to get out of this? Like, it's a whole system, okay, but what's it going to do for me? So when you're able to guide them to that little big win, like it's a little win in the grand scheme of things, but it's huge because it's their stopping block. I think that's just so much more powerful.
Totally agree. Yeah, we are completely on the same page. And it's a little like walking into a museum where there's all this artwork everywhere that's all beautiful. And there's all these wonderful things that you can look at. But you have to figure out what's the door. You know, where are people going to come into the museum? What's going to bring them into your museum, into your world? And figuring out that first thing that really grabs their attention, that's the second piece of the mistake that I see people making, is you have to try some things to figure that out. You may have to try. I think I heard Russell Brunson say once, he's the big funnels guy. And I heard him say it took 16 funnels in order to figure out the one that worked. So I don't know all the time if we give ourselves enough room to try out all of these different ways to figure out, okay, what is my audience really going to love? What is it that I'm going to resonate with and get them to come into my museum and come see all the fun things that I have for them?
Absolutely. And like, you know, just think about that as a museum goer, right? I love museums, but most museums have a theme, right? You're going to go to the Science and Industry Museum. You're going to go to the Art Museum. You're going to go to the, what is it, Asian Art Museum. You're going to go to, you know, the Prehistoric History Museum or something. But if you say, okay, go look at a museum of the entire city of St. Louis, right? I think we actually have one of those. And I'm like, yeah, but when am I going to get there? It's just so broad. You never really know exactly what that's going to be. And hint, hint, it's actually like you're going to get a bunch of traveling exhibits is what's going to happen, because they never know what to keep there. But, you know, it's true, right? Like, what is it that resonates with people? Why are people wanting to seek you out now?
Yes, yes. So that's the second mistake. And then the third one, you'll love this one. It's that whole conversion piece of it. It's having people really think about, how am I going to attract the right audience, which we talked about already, but then how am I going to actually convert them into a student, convert them over to work with me, to jump into my coaching plus my course? You know, that whole process that you can talk to way better than I can is one of the pieces that I think is tough for people to wrap their head around and to really understand, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And how am I going to reach the right people? So what kinds of things have you seen people doing to help get better at their conversion?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of conversion, I think part of the process is it happens before and after the launch, which is not the answer what most people want to hear. But, you know, we'll just do a really quick rundown right now of a typical launch happening, right? We're talking funnels. We're talking getting people into your course, right? What happens? You get however many opt-ins you get in. 30% of those people, you get however many who visit your page. 30% of those people convert, all right? So we'll start with something really, really easy, okay? You have 1,000 people visit your page. 300 of them say, yes, I want to sign up for my masterclass. 30% of those show up to the masterclass. So now you're down to like 100 people on the masterclass. If you've got an amazing conversion rate, 1 to 5% of people will then sign up from the masterclass immediately. So let's do 1%. So that's 1% of 100 is one person. And the others, then you need to talk to in between. So maybe you can get a final of 10% conversion. So 10 people out of 1,000 people who visited you.
Wow.
But what happens is people forget that they now have those other 500 people in their world, but they don't do anything for it. So one of the best ways for you to improve conversion is to have a debrief of some kind, is to have a specific touch point for people who are like, not for me right now, but then move them into something that might be for them right then. Move them into something that is an easy yes for them. You know, is that a community? That's always a great next step, right? They didn't join your program this time, but why not invite them to be a more engaged person in your community so that the next time you open the doors, they know the value of what you're going to bring to them.
I love that.
One of the best ways to improve your conversions for getting people into your courses is to have a follow-up system planned and in place to keep the conversation going. So obviously a lot of what needs to happen is it's a numbers game, right? And part of that numbers game is, are you talking to the right people? So your numbers can generally be higher if you've got more targeted messaging than random cold traffic, right? That's where like JV partners come in. That's where giving specific trainings to specific groups of people can come in so that you can then get them, you know, they know a little bit about you before randomly clicking on a link to sign up for your thing. But honestly, the best way for you to have a better launch is to invest in between the launches. It's to invest and build that relationship after that first one so that your second one, you have 50% of people who know who you are. They know what you're doing. They've got a taste of what it's like, and now they're ready to take that next step. But so many of us were like, all right, yeah, launch done.
Okay. Moving on, next.
I guess I should like email them. Oh, it's been 3 weeks. What am I going to email them? I'll pick something. Okay, I'm going to, all right, time to email them. What am I writing today? Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm going to write something though, right? So, I mean, that is one of the best ways to improve your conversions is to have a plan in place and a strategy in place after your launch so that the next time you run it, you've got more people who are more engaged and more ready for you. You know, online, it's they're saying now it used to be 8 to 12 touch points to get someone ready to buy. Now it's like 15 to 30.
Oh my gosh.
Now it's 15,
I'm exhausted kind of thinking about that.
Right. But now it's 15 to 30, but the conversion rates, the averages haven't really changed much, right? Like a winning, you know, a conversion for somebody from a masterclass, you know, 10% is amazing. 10% is unheard of. 30% is unheard of. But even if you do get that 30, right? With go back to our example, to get 30 people to say yes, you actually needed to get 1,000 people to even view your page.
Yeah.
It's a huge gap, but you still have those, you know, half of those people you do have a connection point with. You just need to make sure to build that connection.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's the piece that sort of falls through the cracks. And then I have one more mistake that I want to throw out, if you don't mind. It's kind of an important one.
Important. Yes, absolutely. Please do share, Julie.
So I will come across people who are like, I have done all these Facebook Lives and I know I can do just throw those up and turn them into a course. And I want to just kind of cringe internally and say, absolutely not. Do not do that, because we need to be a little bit more thoughtful around the content of your course and making sure that your lessons are short. So if your listeners get nothing else from this, this is the one thing I want them to take, is if you can keep your videos and your audios that you're sharing with your students under 10 minutes, you'll have a much, much higher completion rate from your students, because they get that little endorphin hit every time they click the complete and watch a video. Because I know we've all sat down to a course and the very first thing you get is a 90-minute introduction video. Oy. And I know, and I just kind of like, I don't have time to do this. And so then I start trying to figure out, okay, how can I cheat and still get the good stuff out of this class?
Yeah, if I sit down and the first video is a 90-minute video, I'm returning the course. Because right, I'm not going to make it through. Like, I'm never going to make it through. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. You and I are currently in a course together, and the course is on our phones. So I don't have a way to speed up the videos. And I am finding it incredibly difficult to go through the content, even though it's short. The content is short. Most of the videos are short, but I'm so used to like not needing to sit down for 60 minutes.
Right. Yes. Okay. I'm glad to hear you're having the same thing. I think it could also be that instructor.
But the way it's being taught.
Yeah.
But it's so true. It's so incredibly important just to note that people are busy, and like, will they sit down and do 30 minutes of content? Yes. If that 30 minutes of content is 5 to 7 minutes at a time.
Yes.
Then it's really easy. Oh, cool. I finished that. I feel good. I've got info. Awesome. I'm going to go to the next one. But if you give me a video that is 30 minutes, no, I'm not sitting through it.
Right.
Just not sitting through it.
The other thing you can do that I don't see a lot of people doing, but really makes the courses amazing, is having Cliff Notes versions that summarize the content of what the lesson is and the assignment out of the lesson. And so I was in a course, and it was my second course about podcasting, and the instructor did this. They had these cheat sheets for each lesson. And so because I had already knew some of the things about how to do a podcast. I didn't need to watch everything. And I love these little cheat sheets because I could read through and I'd be like, yeah, okay, I know that. I know that. Oh, I don't know that piece. So I'm going to go listen and I need to listen to this video, but that other one I can skip. And it was just so refreshing as a student to be given this. You know how much we liked Cliff Notes in school. and it's like the cheat sheet to the test.
I'll be honest, I have never actually cracked a cheat sheet, a Cliff Notes. I've never actually read one. I did actually read the books, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Or when I was in high school, it was becoming popular with Spark Notes. I believe those were online.
Right.
Yeah, so that's interesting. All right, so we've talked about courses. We've talked about finding your course topic. We've talked about those stumbling blocks course creators kind of come upon. Now let's talk about community, right? One of the things we talked about is that a mini course is a great way to build your community and to get new people into your audience. So tell me a little bit about you, right? Where do you meet and find your audience?
Yes, so I love sharing mini courses, and here's why. They have a lot of value attached to them because people are like, oh, I get a free course. Wow, that feels like I'm getting a big freebie for giving away my email address. So that high value can really help you build your audience and you can make it very strategic. So when you put these together, I want you to have them be things early on in your customer's journey. So early things that they need to know or need to think about or need to be considering, those are what you can use for your mini courses. And once again, keep them short. I have a client, we set one up for her. She had 4 videos. She helps people with a whole lot of things, but she wanted to give them a chance to experience what it was like to do the meditations that she does. So she had an intro video plus 3 meditations. She said her people love it because they get a chance to listen to her and get to know her and work with her and kind of see what it's like to be one of her students for free. And then they're jumping into the next thing with her because this mini course was so good. It's kind of like, oh, if I get this for free in a mini course, I wonder what my full course would be. You know, if I actually paid this instructor money, what kinds of things would they give me?
Absolutely.
So that's the goal of the mini courses.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things you pointed out, and it's really important and powerful, is make sure they're early in the customer journey, right? You have to know for any kind of marketing you use where people are in the customer journey so that you know where it's going to fall and what you're talking about and what, you know, questions are they asking. So when it comes to, you know, getting people into your community and converting them, what are some of the things you struggled with?
So I, very similar to what you were talking about, you know, getting in front of enough people, it really is that whole numbers game and catching people when they're ready. So if you've got these great freebies, you can, as you're catching people along the way, then 6 months from now, when they're like, okay, now I'm ready to do a course, then they'll sign up. But you have to have that way to actually get in front of them and get caught, to catch them and pull them in and give them a chance to get to know you. So that's been one of the challenges, I think, is getting in front of enough people. So last year, I actually started a podcast and it's been fantastic, a way to get introduced to new audiences, to get in front of new people. I got some speaking engagements out of it. So those are just one of the things that's really been a great way to get in front of more people. The other thing that I was doing, and we briefly hit on, is doing joint ventures with other people who are also talking to my audience. So they're not telling people how to do courses, but they're teaching them other things like how to convert like you. And so thinking about who else can I work with and who else is reaching my audience so that then we can work together and I can promote them and they can promote me. And that helps me get in front of more people too. So that's been the biggest challenge, I would say, the past year or two, is just figuring out how do I get in front of the people who are ready to hear from me.
That is, it's always a big challenge. And I think that something to consider for a lot of people is it's a numbers game, but it's not the kind of numbers game you think it is. It's not about raw numbers. It's about the right amount of people. Yes. And the right numbers. And that takes some doing, you know, that takes some research, that takes some getting to know your audience. I always find it funny when I tell people, hey, you know, ask them a question on a survey when they first sign up, or invite them to, you know, get on a quick chat with you. And people are like, but I don't want to get on a phone call with somebody. I'm like, it's so much more powerful. You know, it's very funny. Hang up, I think, because a lot of us are here. We want to build communities. We want to build that relationship. And then like, we're reluctant to ask people to get on the phone with us. And it's like, well, it's for their benefit. You want to make sure that what you're putting out there is what they're looking to learn more about. So Julie, I'm going to say thank you so much for coming on, for sharing your wisdom with us and all these great and wonderful ideas about course creation and how it can be used in the marketing process. What would you say is that first step somebody should take? What is that first thing? Okay, you know what? I'm sold. I think I need a mini course, but I got no idea where to start. What should they do first?
So it's starting with figuring out what topic you could start with. It really is spending some time thinking about your audience and what is it that they need the most at the beginning from me. So what could that be? What are some of the problems that they're coming up with? So hit some Facebook groups, start looking at the questions that people are asking and start thinking about, where can I fill in? What can I help with? What could I answer and make it into a mini course that people could work on? And that would be really helpful for them. So that's the first place, is figuring out your topic and how you're going to help.
Fantastic. And if people want to learn more about you and what you're doing, where can they find it?
So I would love for them to jump in, because that's the first thing they need to do is figuring out their topic. I'm doing a 5-day challenge for free coming up in a couple of weeks. And it's all about figuring out your topic and figuring out your title. Because those two things, once you get your topic and title going, you can really jump in then and run with it. There's something about it making it real when you know what that topic is. And I've got a whole bunch of different ways that I like to have people research and really figure out, is this going to be a good idea or not? So we're going to do those during the 5-day challenge. And then we're going to work a little bit on figuring out, okay, what can I call this? So this is like my rock star mini course to get people started. So I know we're going to put the link in the show notes too, but it's at coursecreatorshq.com/Kim5Day. That's Kim5Day. And I'd love to have everybody come join us. It's free. Let's work on your course and see what we can come up with. Like I said, I've been at this a long time, so I know a lot of different markets and sort of what works and what doesn't in some of these different markets. So I like to share that with everybody. I love brainstorming. Let's figure out what you're, I know it's just really fun to like figure out, okay, what could you do? What would be a good fit for your audience? So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And you know, everyone, do be sure to go check out coursecreatorshq.com/Kim5Day. That's a great opportunity, right? So many of us, we just don't know where to get started. It's a struggle. It's hard to wrap our heads around exactly how to do this process. So Julie's going to guide you through it over the course of 5 days. You're going to know what your topic is and the name of it. So go ahead and be sure to check that out. Again, Julie, thank you so much for being here, for coming on, for having a great chat, for sharing all of your wisdom, and so excited for your upcoming challenge.
Oh, thanks so much, Kim. I appreciate you having me. And thanks to your listeners for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Audience Converter Podcast for Community Leaders. We dived into creating mini courses to better connect with and build your audiences. Until next time, keep calm and get your course idea sold and solid.
Thanks for listening to the Audience Converter Podcast. For more information and important links about today's show, or for access to our website, visit theaudienceconverter.com. Take a moment to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.